Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So welcome everyone back to part two of Private Parts.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Hey Francis, I'm glad that you're actually playing it quite cool today. You're not getting all jittery around Tom Grennan.
Yes, well, you know.
So you're going to ask him at some point. You're going to go, oh, Tom.
Can we make a record together?
Listen.
Yeah.
All right, yes, you can sing on one of my techno tracks, yes.
Or come to a party where you're like a techno DJ, just getting down.
Yeah, all right, I'll let you. There are quite a few of those coming up.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
Okay, hold on. What party are you going to where you're DJing? There's loads of them coming up. Name one, Francis.
Oh, I've got loads in the diary. They're a bit underground, though.
Oh, I love that.
They have to be.
You know. Hey, Tom, you know, you're a multi-talented guy because you were going to be a professional footballer, weren't you? You played for Luton and you tried out for Aston Villa, isn't that right?
Yeah, I was playing for Luton from like 14 to 18, and then Stevenage, Northampton, and then trialled at Villa, yeah. And I just didn't get better at football. I think I hit my peak at like 15. Yeah.
How good were you?
At 15?
Yeah.
I was sick.
No, like, come on.
Like, I was good. Like, I was sick.
How good?
Like, how up good? Up there.
Really?
Yeah. I was up there. And I was going to go to America and play and got offered a scholarship to go to, like, North Carolina. So,
yeah.
And just I fancied going to America. And then I picked up a microphone at a party. And that's the first time I've sung in front of anybody.
Bullshit.
On my life.
You'd sung before.
Nah. If I'd have sung before, I'd have got beaten up for it, 100%.
Like, no, but on your own, like the shower or whatever.
If I was in the shower, I'd hum. I wouldn't belt out a tune, though. No way.
Wait, Tom, explain this more, though. So you're saying, so where you were from, if you had started to sing or do something like that, you would have been beaten up.
Well, no, I wouldn't have been beaten up, but, like, I would have definitely got the fucking piss ripped out of me, 100%.
Really?
Because Bedford's not that, it's not that dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's singers. Dangerous. I did actually get beaten up, had my jaw broken in Bedford. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
In Bedford?
Yeah. Not because
shit,
I was singing.
Well, I take that back. It sounds
pretty...
It was
because there was that guy. They were like, there's that guy who was at the party singing. Let's beat him up.
Yeah, nah. But, like, from my mates, if I'd have, like, started belting out songs at school, I definitely would have been, like... it wasn't, like, that kind of school. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't Brit school.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I mean?
But do you know how interesting that is? Is that, like, you get... So someone like... Think of the amount of people out there in the world and people who... are super creative or have a talent or have something like that, that don't follow their dreams or don't follow what they could potentially be doing because of what others are going to think of them. And
yeah.
That must happen all the time.
100%.
Like, you're saying that you didn't do it because you were worried about what your mates were going to say, and that must happen too.
Yeah.
So what gave you the things? So you picked up the microphone and what happened?
I was at a party. There was a karaoke machine and it was like the first time I'd really like drunk alcohol and just got absolutely rat-assed. And then I just jumped on the mic and then just started singing the Kooks.
Which song?
Seaside. Then everybody was like, "What's that? What's that?" And then I was that guy. I was like, after the karaoke machine had been shut off, I was started singing in people's ears and shit. And I was like, "I can do it. I can do it." And then singing in people's ears. Yeah. And then
that is beautiful.
Yeah. Then the girls came. Then I was like, yes, I am not playing football. And then the music boys at school were like, do you want to join a band? And I was like, no, not at all. And then I ended up joining the band and then we did like loads of covers. And then I was like, fucking hell, this is sick. I'm definitely not going to America. We did the band for like 8 to 9 months, maybe a year. And then they were like, we're going to uni to do like maths and science. And I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, we're in this band.
We're in a band 100%. Together. What are you doing?
I can imagine that scene in the movie. What? You're going to study maths? What about the band?
What about the band? So then I moved to London.
Also, Tom, what I really love about that story is that Tom was offered like a scholarship to America at like North Carolina, like huge like deal, like that's insane. And Tom goes, no, screw that, I'm gonna be in a band. And then all of his bandmate members leave anyway to go to university.
Yeah, no.
You're like,
absolutely shat.
Hang on a second, aren't we meant to be part of this band?
Yeah, fuming. But then I moved to London, and then that's where I picked up the guitar.
What was the name of the band?
I'm not telling you.
What? Why not?
I'm not telling you. It's not, because then people will start fucking go. It's still on Spotify and shit like that. We put a few tunes on Spotify and I'm not having that fucking piping up.
I can't wait to find it.
You'll find it on YouTube, 100%, but I'm not.
Were your parents, anyone ever, because you had this idea of being a footballer, you had this scholarship, you had this kind of life set out, and then you kind of go, do you know what, I'm going to go and be a singer.
Mm.
Were your parents a bit like worried about it? Were you a bit worried about it? Kind of you just like were like, this is what I want to do.
Nah, my mum and dad they're ledge, mate, and they were like, just do what you got to do. And then I was like, sweet. And
that's
when like, yeah, it was like, to be honest, it would have going to America would have cost me a fucking arm and a leg anyway. So it would have been like on a scholarship, but it would have still like it still cost me loads of money.
And then also you might not have made it as a footballer anyway.
Well, that's it. I wouldn't be speaking to you lot about my music and I wouldn't be speaking, do you know what I mean? And I probably wouldn't have done music. So I'm glad it worked out like the way it did. And then, yeah, like I said, moving to London was the best thing for me. And I actually moved to Twickenham. It wasn't London, but...
But it's good that you saw that actually, and you believed in yourself. And I guess you had the support of your parents as well. That you saw like, wow, I've got this talent. I need to like try to first and foremost make something of this.
100%. My parents are just well supportive. In like, if I wanted to do anything, they'd have just been like, go do it. If you can do it, you go do it. So I was like, sick. But I didn't actually study music at I moved to London, to get to London, I had to study. The only A level I got was drama, so I studied acting at uni and then taught myself how to play guitar and started writing my own songs. And then my second year just started gigging, and then luckily enough, my third year got signed basically in a pub. It was mad.
Wait, that's insane. So wait, hang on. So this story is just this is Francis. You're going to play Tom in the movie, which I can't wait for. And you're going to be, and it's going to be twist. You're going to be like some techno DJ, which is going to be great. But anyway, this is insane. You pick up a microphone at a party. You start singing because you're drunk.
Mm.
People go, holy smokes, you got a epic voice.
Tom, you're drunk.
Tom, you're drunk. Shut the fuck up.
But you then realise that you have this voice that you've kind of been hiding for so long and everyone else does. You then quit your dream of becoming a footballer and doing all that kind of stuff to focus on music.
A band.
All your bandmates then go off to uni.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God, I've made a big mistake. I better go to uni for acting.
Yeah.
You go to acting, teach yourself how to play guitar, then go to pub nights and get found in a pub.
Mm. Yeah.
What the hell? That's like... So what happened? So you're basically performing in a pub and then an agent comes in and sees you.
So I was performing in a pub and then like... like say someone came in and saw me and they were like, are these your songs? And I was like, yeah. They were like, are they online? I was like, no.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you the band's name because
I was like, no. And then where I went to St. Mary's University in Twickenham, and they've got like a church on site. So me and my friend at the time, we went into the church, and he was a camera guy. And then I just recorded one of my songs, then sent it to him, and then it got like passed through like record labels and stuff. And then literally like the next day, I was going in for fucking meetings with all these different record labels. I didn't have a manager. I didn't have any, like, these were like, have you got a manager? Have you got a lawyer? Have you got this, that, and this, that, this, that? I'm like, no. So then I had to get all that stuff. And then, for luckily enough, found my manager who's
they were like, all right, sign this, please.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. No, just... basically. And then, met my manager. And then, yeah, it's all kind of...
But how does it work? When you get called into these big music places, when you get called into them, what kind of... Do they
offer you cocaine straight away? Or is it
yeah, just...
Yeah, like, have a
girls
look.
And cocaine. Yeah, 100%.
Do the strippers come after the record? Or
you're going to make no money, but we're going to give you loads of drugs.
You'll be dead in a few years.
But it's interesting, though, because when you... These labels, right, they obviously... They've done this a million times. They know what they're kind of doing. Do you feel intimidated going in there? Like, how do you know what to do?
I kind of just rolled in and was like, you all right? And just... They started talking all these... You can be this guy. You can be that guy. You can be this guy. And I was like, I just want to be me.
I just want to be Beyonce. I just want to be Beyonce. That's what.
Yeah, I just want to be Beyonce. Yeah.
Have you seen her new movie? It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was intimidating. I suppose it was, but to be honest, like, I wasn't there to. I didn't think I was ever going to get signed. So be in the building. I was like, fucking hell, this is mad. And I was just excited to be there, I think. And then when I got a manager and stuff like that, like, that's where, like, he did all the talking, I suppose. And then I just was like, I just want to make music, man. Let's do it. Because I'd never, like, thought about an album. Like, as soon they let me finish uni, which is good as well. So, like, as soon as I finished uni, I was like, right, boom, into a studio and let's make an album. And
Chase and Status?
My publisher, who actually found me, he then put me in touch with Chase and Status, and then we recorded All Goes Wrong while I was at uni. So like 6 months before that, I was playing in the pub, Finsbury Park pub, like to like 50 people, and then like 6 months later, I was headlining Wireless in front of 75,000 people.
Oh, my God.
It was mad. It was sick.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you nervous? Are you nervous to go on stage?
No.
First time? No, not at all.
Nah. Nah, I loved it. I was like, everybody thought I was nervous, but I went there because obviously, like, Chasing Status, they have loads of featured artists. So, like, Frisco was there, like, Liam Bailey was there, Maverick was there. There was loads of, like, people that obviously I know and I'm a fan of. So I was like, I don't want to be that guy, that new guy going, yeah, you're right. Like, just, I don't want to be that kind of, like, loud, cocky new guy.
Yeah,
I just chilled and didn't really say much. And then as soon as I went on stage, I kind of just had this fucking ball of energy. And yeah, walked out, just gave it big beans and yeah, it was good.
I suppose also you're kind of used to performing in front of a crowd from when you played football, right?
So I didn't really play in front of crowds in football though.
No, I never did. Probably. Well, you still play in front of spectators. You have to perform, right, with people watching you, which is not easy.
I also love the fact that Tom was literally like, "Were you nervous before going on stage?" And he was like, "No, I wasn't nervous. People thought I was." So it's like one of those things where they go like, "You were obviously nervous." But you're like, "No, I wasn't nervous at all."
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. All my mates were like, fucking hell, I couldn't talk to you all day. I was like, yeah, I know, but that was my game plan. I actually did have a game plan going in there. I was like, let me just relax, not really be seen by anybody. Like, Chasing Status obviously knew I was there and I was performing that song. So they were coming up to me like, are you good? I was like, yeah, I'm good. But they were nervous for me. I knew what I was doing. I was like, I know what I'm doing. I know where my spots are to come in and out. I've got it. I've got it under control. And I did have it under control.
When you're on stage and performing in front of that many people, is it just like nothing else? Is it just unbelievable?
Mate, it's fucking sick. It's like a drug that's never been invented and only you can have it.
God.
Do you know what I mean?
Really?
It's mad. It's sick.
I suppose because it's not just being on stage performing, like, you know, DJ, but you're actually like, you're singing and like involved in the music at that time with everyone watching.
But then also like everybody's in that moment together where you're on the same energy, same level, and like and it's magic.
Unity.
It's a magical thing. It's like I am the fucking leader of Gryffindor and you lot are fucking under the spell.
You should say that on stage next time. You know what I mean? Like, okay, weirdo.
Imagine.
So Tom, you said earlier that you were beaten up. What happened there?
I was just randomly attacked. I was standing outside KFC.
Where all great stories start.
Yeah, exactly. and I was just literally having a cigarette, and I saw some old friends of mine, so I was saying hello to them, and then I kind of turned back to go get my chicken. And I didn't even get my chicken in the end either, which I was pissed off about. But I went, turned around, and then I just got, like, grabbed, like, bear hugged. And then while, like, two guys were, like, bear hugging me, some guy just caved in my face. And I've got...
What?
Yeah, I've got all my jaw, basically, is metal plates.
But did they find the people who did it?
Yeah, they found the guy who did it, and he went to jail, and he came out of jail that day, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
But what were his reasons? There must have been some sort of motivation behind it.
No, well, I don't know. The thing is, I was meant to be going, because he pleaded not guilty at first, and I then was going to have to go to court, and I was like, I don't want to do that. It really did fucking like cripple me. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't leave my house for like 8 months, and like my mental health my mental health was completely gone, and I was like suicidal for a bit without getting too deep into it. But I was like,
were you really?
Yeah, I was really like really fucked from it. So going to like court, I didn't want to do that. Luckily enough, he then pleaded guilty, so I didn't have to go to court. But I never found out the reason why he did it. But
I'm so sorry to hear that. But you touch on, because what we do on the podcast is quite a lot of the time we talk about mental health and things like that, because we think it relates to a lot of people, and especially during this time, it's pretty tricky. So you said, did you? I suppose what happened was is that you obviously, you know, some sort of PTSD sort of kicked in, and you had anxiety and things like that. And
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And And I suppose for other people out there who've experienced the same sort of thing or are going through the same sort of thing, how what do you suggest them? How do you kind of bring yourself out of that terrible dark time that you think is never going to end?
Nah, for me, again, like writing, that's where like my like creative mind then came in, because I didn't leave the house for however long I didn't leave. That's where like I started to like jot down my feelings, and I tried to go to counselling, and I went to like Cambridge, and we did, this guy did this like it wasn't an experiment, but it was like this
new study.
Yeah, that's it, study. And we studied this, how I was feeling, and that helped me. So going to see someone helped me, writing about it helped me. And you know what? Friends and family helped me and they still do to this day. There's some moments where I would still kind of be like, if it was like late at night and stuff, I would still feel like anxious, and do you know what I mean? And that would I'd have never felt like that before, but because of that.
I guess because it was unprovoked, it's not like you did anything to feel like, oh, I expected that. So it's just completely out of the blue, which must play on your anxiety levels, because you just don't know if that's going to happen to you again. Like, I mean,
exactly.
I guess, God, I can imagine it must be horrible.
Yeah, it's a really tricky thing. And when you sort of get that, almost what I can sort of, you know, my sort of limited knowledge, you get sort of that agoraphobia where you're scared of leaving the house and you get incredibly anxious. And I think that a lot of people, you know, they're talking about COVID and all this thing, and a lot of people experiencing the same thing of this mental health where, you know, people are becoming incredibly anxious and have been incredibly anxious and incredibly down. And, you know, the thing that France and I always try and say, and probably, you know, Tom, you're a true sort of specimen of this, is that it does get better with hard work, with, you know, pushing through it and actually believing in, and with a support system.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so awesome that you're open and honest about that, because, you know, coming from a young guy who is, you know, on the up with singing and performing and all these different things, and having experienced something like that and then coming out of that and doing what you did, you know, do you think it, because you may not have written the stuff or written the songs that you would have done if that hadn't have happened potentially, right?
That's like, now looking at it, I'm so glad it did happen, because then if I ever met the guy, I would thank him, because it kind of, whether it put me in that dark place or not, like, I would now be like, look what you've done, mate. You've created this person now. Do you know what I mean? And and like, all for you, do you know what I mean? You dickhead.
You're a freaking legend. Right, Francis, we got to that moment. We need to have the answer to the question of the week. It's not going to be two rocks, is it?
I really think it's a teddy bear, Junior.
I said some sort of bear, yeah.
No, you said teddy bear.
Okay,
teddy
bear. I said, well, some sort of cuddly toy, I don't know. A bear. It's some sort of like bear.
Okay. Well, technically, you're both wrong, but I'm going to have to give it to Tom on this one, because the world's oldest toy, according to anthropologists and archaeologists, is a stick.
That's what I meant. Like a stick with a rock.
Yeah.
Get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up, Tom. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You said two rocks, bang them together. This is sweet.
Nearly though.
He's a musician, so it makes sense.
Mate, you actually nearly got there. That's unbelievable. Yeah, you nearly got there. That's the closest ever.
I'm shit at quizzes as well. I'm usually bad at them.
Hey, Tom, listen, buddy, we've taken up far too much of your time.
I could stay here all day.
Listen, thank you. Big fan of yours, have been for a while.
Thank you, mate.
Mate, and I really appreciate your, you know, the music that you make, everything you do is just, it's totally out of passion. And when you meet someone, that kind of zooms out of you. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for sharing that story, because I think it will hit like a lot of people. I mean, before we go, also, if anyone is trying to get into the music industry, right, and trying
just
to
give Tom a call.
Yeah, just give Tom a call. Yeah. just
he's in it, and he'll help you out.
Just give him a call. But if they are trying to get into the music industry, what advice would you give them?
I would say believe in what you're creating, and go and knock on doors. Go and do every gig you possibly can do. The internet is a massive thing now, obviously. Put it on the internet. People will listen, whether it's good or not. I think just keep believing in it, and someone will like it. And if you like it, that's the main thing. Do you know what I mean?
Mate, totally true. And also, we can find you on Instagram as well.
Yeah, Tom Grennan.
And on Spotify, the same thing, right?
100%, yeah.
And when you're touring, Listen, Francis and I are there.
Yeah.
With our sticks and our stone just banging exactly. on the side.
Yeah, I've got a big show coming up in London next year now, so I'll definitely let you know about it.
Oh,
yeah,
where can we get tickets for that? For
it's not out yet.
It's not out yet?
It's not been announced yet. The venue's not been announced yet, but it's a good venue, big venue.
Wembley.
It's Wembley Stadium.
Also, mate, congratulations on your children's book. Obviously, you can't probably say too much about it, but being released at some point, so keep your eyes peeled.
I hope so.
That must be so fun, actually, writing a children's book, because there's so many lessons that you can pass on, which are, you know...
Mate,
which...
it's been mad. It's been, like, really, really cool to write it. But if it gets... hopefully, it gets released and published and whatnot, but that's the next stage, isn't it? So
yeah,
we'll see.
Good luck.
Nice one.
Listen, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
What?
It's over to you, buddy. Yeah, you got to.
All right.
Say something inspiring.
Believe in you. Believe in your dream, and you know you can do it. Do you know what I mean? You are you. You are gold. You are kings. You are queens.
There we go. Don Grennan, thank you so much. We'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
Legend. Bye. Woo-hoo.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.